Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the third in our special series of Battle Walks slash Living History, where we're talking about our experiences on the battlefields. Drop the ball. We didn't even manage. Full disclosure, we're not in the Somme anymore. We're actually back in Paris. We didn't even manage to get one in during the Somme. We are, you know,
rubbish.
We're struggling somewhat to be timely, but yeah, we are rubbish. That is the term for it. But mate, for good reason. Because we have had a great time. I mean, we've done some amazing things.
It's been absolutely full on night and day. It's been non-stop. We've had some just wonderful experiences and wonderful clients and wonderful locations. And it's just been wonderful. But I need a break.
It's been a bit of a blur.
Yeah.
No, but it's been great. I don't want to play this up too much. The reason it's been, you know, the reason we've been busy is we're doing a lot of stuff. We're seeing great sites. Yeah. The point of me doing the signature tour is, as I said when I first decided to do it, is that I want to go to the sites. Well, I said two things. I want to travel with the people I want to travel with, and that box has certainly been ticked. But also I want to go to the sites I want to go and see. I don't just want to go to the same old boring... Not boring. No, I should stop talking. I'm
not
talking
boring.
Down
not boring.
Our other tours. Wait, we better cut and start again. Okay, take two. The amazing sights that we see in the tour. Now, all of the tours are excellent, of course, but the more time you have, the more stuff you can see. I mean, let's not kid ourselves that 3 or 4 days or even a week in the battlefields is enough time. You know, my first trip here was 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And in the end, I had to stop because I was getting a bit exhausted from the emotional aspects of it. But you could do months in the battlefields and still not see everything. So we never pretend that, you know, 3 or 4 days on a tour is enough time, but it does give you enough time to see the main sites, which is fantastic.
Well,
and that's what we did on this tour as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just extraordinary the number of the clients. Where now it's the morning at people are dispersing, starting to disperse from the hotel, and the number of people said, can we press a button for an extension? We'd like to extend it even longer, and I think that's a general feeling is if the tour has gone really well, which this has been an exceptional tour, people wanted to carry on. It was going so well that they wanted more, and there is an awful lot more you can do, but sadly no, that's it. So fantastic. And some of the locations which we'll chat about now, but just extraordinary places I'd not been to, so fantastic.
We've got a lot to get through, and I'll do my little plug at the start to say if you want to join us next year, please do. The Matt McLaughlin Signature Tour. The Matt and Pete Signature Tour is departing in October, start of October, 2nd of October, I think, 2023. So please join us. There still is a small number of places left on that tour. So do join us if you want to come and have this experience for yourself. But last time we spoke to you, we were still in Ypres. I can't believe I'm saying that. We're still in Belgium. Yep. Now we've done the Somme, we've done Flanders, and now we're back in Paris. But... wow, that's all I can say. I mean, let's do it day by day. We left Ypres, we drove south, we crossed back into France, and this is always an interesting day because I always call it. I mean, I don't even know what to call it, so I just call it Flanders.
Yeah,
because we're effectively driving from Ypres to the Somme, and then we do the sights in between. And there's some good sights, Pete. I mean, some of the most important parts of the story. That some people could drive straight past without even noticing.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Fromelles is obviously the key site for Australian groups, and of course for our group, and it's a very emotional site to go to, but so well laid out that you can do it. And for those that have listened to our podcast previously, you'll know that but it's one of our favourite places to chat about. And because it is so very easy to stand on the battlefields and see everything around you. I mean, we just had it is an odd place to say we had a great time when it is such a horrific location, but it is so, the story is so well told there because of the museums and the landscape, and you can just do a really good job there. And certainly there's so many little tactical things you can talk about, and we had the time to do that and talk about enfilade, fire, and well, it was great. Yeah,
we had some good interactions with French farmers as well.
Yes, we did.
For whatever reason, we should pause on that, because for whatever reason, Fromelles is the place that I have found more
grumpy
evidence of
farmers.
Fighting than
and
anywhere.
More grumpy farmers as well.
Oh. Well, you know, I don't want to be that old guy that says, oh, back in my day. But 20 years ago when you were coming to the battlefields, no Australians were going to Fromelles.
Yeah.
They just weren't doing it. And so, you know, the farmers were delighted to see. They were a bit bemused and didn't quite understand what you were doing there, but they were delighted to see an Australian. Now we get literally busloads and busloads and busloads every day. And people do get off and tramp through farmers' fields, and so we don't encourage it. But you can't help. We said to them, said to our clients, don't go in that field. It's got a crop in it. And they did anyway, because it's a really historic site. And they found so much stuff.
Yeah.
Machine gun bullets, cartridges, one of the...
I hastened to...
Found the handle. Yeah.
It all went back
German
in the field.
Knife.
Most of it went back in the field. Obviously, anything that was munitions went back in the field. But yeah, things like the handle off a knife was a nice
souvenir. Oh, yeah, we don't...
Nice
we don't,
souvenir.
So,
yeah.
We don't encourage people to keep these things because, you know, at first it's not safe and it's illegal. And
but it's interesting.
But to find
it, how
to
can
to
it not be interesting? Yeah, how can it not be interesting just to go and have a look at these things?
Julie, one of our passengers, she was the cartridge whisperer, because she was walking through the field. She went, oh, I found this. And I said, oh, that's a German machine gun cartridge that has been fired. So that was fired at Australians during the Battle of Fromelles. And then she's like, oh, here's another one. Oh, and another one. And another one. And she must have found 8 or 10, maybe a dozen. She just kept...
Yeah, she did.
She was like a bloodhound. And so obviously what was happening, this is what I love about walking the battlefields. You know, that eternal question, why do you walk the battlefields?
Yeah.
She had obviously found the site of a German machine gun position. She was standing on the spot where a German machine gunner was blasting away at the Australians, and that's why there were cartridges all over the ground.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You've got
after
to have an
century,
eye. You've
amazing.
Got to have an eye as well. She got an eye in very quickly as to be able to find them. But so fascinating. I mean, so that was the start of that day, very early on, and it just continued in that vein. We had, we've had good weather, haven't we?
Smashing
that's
day.
The other
smashing
thing we should
day.
Say. The weather's been extraordinary.
Sensational. It's been absolutely brilliant. This tour was slightly later than I would normally run the signature tour, and I was a little bit wary that maybe it was getting a little late. Fantastic weather. Long days, sunny, warm. It's been beautiful.
Yeah.
Not a drop of rain. It's been great. I think one of the mornings we had a little smattering of rain, but
nothing.
It's been brilliant.
Yeah, nothing to write home about at all. In fact, I've not had my waterproofs out for the whole of the tour. Not been waterproofs.
I'm disappointed, Pete. You described how you had this full latex outfit.
Yeah, I look good in waterproofs, I have to say.
Tight fitting, curvy.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
With your big floppy hat on, and I didn't get to see any of it. I'm disappointed.
Thank God.
The one thing... Back to, on a serious note, the Fromelles demonstrates to me now a slight, this is a good thing, but it does actually create a problem when it comes to touring. There's been so much enhancement of these sites.
Yeah.
We are having problems fitting everything in now, aren't we? Because if you go to Fromelles, the entire battlefield is still there as it's always been. Since the 90s, we put up memorials. There's incredible cemeteries. You can walk the ground. That used to be the entire visit to Fromelles. That used to be the whole visit. Now, in addition, you've got the whole story of the mass grave, all the bodies that were discovered. You've got the site of the mass grave. You've got the new cemetery and the new museum. And this stuff just takes... It's amazing, but it takes so much time. We spend a lot of time at Fromelles.
I have to say, even if we were visiting just one site, if we just went to one site, I suspect we'd still be late in. Because somehow or other, we seem to be able to fill the time somehow.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying that we always have something to say. But, I mean... There is a time coordination factor of this as well, and it's getting hard because we'll get to this in more detail a little bit later, but it's getting hard because of the number of great sites there are now to see everywhere. Sites that used to be half an hour, quick wander around, back on the bus.
Not
because we were cutting them short, but that's all the time that was required at them, is now can be multi-hours because there's museums to see and enhancements in infrastructure. So, we're going to have to start juggling the tours a little bit to take in all these amazing sites. It's the Australians that are doing it. The Australian government is funding a lot of these things.
Yeah.
another place we went to where we didn't go to the museum. That is, there is a new museum there, but we literally did not have time to do it, even though it's one of the great museums on the Western Front. Bullacore.
Yeah.
Or Woodcore, as the local people say. What a great place, Pete. Bullacore. I've never been there.
Bullacore.
I've never been there and not just been overwhelmed. It's just, I mean, the battlefield still laid out as it was. Just horrific stories of the fighting of the two huge battles of Bullacore in 1917.
I mean, these
and
are
the moving sculpture.
Yeah, I mean, these are both on all of the of our itineraries. We always go to these locations, but they never cease to move people because you can view the whole battlefield from various locations. And I think that's the key, is being able to view the battlefields. It doesn't work quite the same in places like Polygon Wood. You know, it's more difficult. But certainly for both Bullacore and for Fromelles, you can view the battlefield in its entirety, which is which is great.
Even somewhere like Pozières, which we'll get to shortly, which is one of the most iconic Australian sites. There's a village there now. There, the big distinction between 1916 and today is there is now a working village there. And obviously back at the time, even though we talk the village of Pozières during the war, there was not a skerrick of a building left. So even that battlefield has obviously changed completely.
Yeah.
But no, it's a fortunate coincidence that on this day we get to go and see a couple of the major Australian sites, and they're almost unchanged from the war. So it's always a good day.
Yep. And then, of course, we had some of the special locations that we went to, and the one for me that I'd not been before was to, as I call it in my good old Yorkshire accent, Bertangles. The old chateau.
Bertangles.
Bertangles.
Well, before we get to that, Pete...
Sorry, I'm leaping ahead. Well,
You are. That was. No, we will get to those. Let's talk about some of the... There is a reason that I don't want to get to that just yet is because I want to talk about something that I think you wouldn't even note as particularly special, because you do it on every British tour. But we went to some sites because we had extra time, because we do on this tour. We went to some amazing sites from the first day on the Somme, that famous action. Now, whenever we do a tour, we always cover it in the Somme because it's iconic. You can't not cover it. But again, because we had extra time, we went to some amazing places. I had been to them, but I had not been to them with Pete Smith. Places like, you know, and every British person listening, this is going to be, you know, going to be shaking their head that we don't normally go to these places because they're so iconic. But, you know, the Sunken Lane, Hawthorne Ridge Crater, you know, these sites.
Yeah.
And as Australians, we might do, you know, the Newfoundland Memorial Park at Beaumont Hamel to see some preserved trenches and things like that. But we don't go in depth like we did on about the first day of the Somme. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
I think one of the most moving moments of the tour was standing in that Sunken Lane.
Yeah.
Especially for Australians, because we're not familiar with it. People in Britain grow up with these iconic images.
Yeah, I quite like it because most Australians that have watched any kind of footage have on to do with the First World War, even from the Australian perspective, there's normally an overview of the British perspective, and nearly always a bit of film that will be shown is the guys that are standing in the Sunken Lane and the detonation of the mine that is the Hawthorne, now where the Hawthorne mine crater is. So if there were two imageries that the Australians would recognize, and it's those two images. So it's really nice to actually take them to places that they perhaps have seen the photograph but have no real kind of understanding of what they're looking at. So
amazing.
I really enjoyed it.
Amazing.
It was great.
Standing
it was,
in the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, how can you not? Yeah. You're standing right there where these men were filmed moments before they advanced to their deaths.
Malin's film is extraordinary, and there's been a lot of work done on it, and we discussed it there about the lip reading, trying to understand what the guys were saying, and fantastic stories.
From Manchester, weren't they? Yeah. Manchester Pals?
They were the...
Lancs,
yeah, Lancashire Regiment.
Lancashire Fusiliers.
Sorry,
my geography isn't right in the UK. Is that the same area?
Roughly. Yeah, broadly speaking.
Okay. So, apologies to our UK listeners. We have quite a devout following for the UK, and they're no doubt spitting their pints of ale at the
everywhere.
Their phones as they listen. But great day. Well, the good thing about the signature tour is we split the Somme into those couple of days, so we can focus on the 1916 sites, and then the next day we did the 1918 sites. So on the 1916 day, we did the whole lot. We did those 1st of July sites, we did Pozières. Where else do we go? Tiep Vale Memorial, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people who've been to the Somme will know all of these sites. They're the must-visit sites. But But we did them in depth. We told the Australian story. We told the British story. The New Zealanders got to mention. Yeah. The Canadians, of course. Mooke Farm. We spent a lot of time.
Yeah, I was going to say Mooke Farm. Yeah, yeah. And of course, the other good thing about going to some of these places, especially like Teepval, is that some of our clients could buy souvenirs as well, because there's a little souvenir shop in there. And of course, we have people on the tour that like their souvenirs.
Good cups of coffee as well. Ulster Tower.
And bad cups of coffee.
Bad cups of coffee. That wasn't a reflection of Ulster Tower.
Shout out to Nigel and Anne at Ulster Tower.
Yeah, that was great. And the little museum there is fantastic. Nigel brought out his 303, which we all got to play with.
Yeah.
His rifle.
Yeah.
Great. Just a great spot. Didn't go to the Pope's Nose, though, Pete.
No. No time. No time for the Pope's Nose. No.
So that was great. So, yeah, we did 1916. Did we do any other? I can't even remember now. Did we do any other Australian sites? Well, Pozzier is the main one.
Yeah, on that day, Pozzier.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're saying this as if people know exactly what we're talking about. There's a loop around the 1916 sites that you just... There's a lot to see in a small area, Pete. God. So much stuff. Yeah. I always get blown away by the number of memorials just on the side of the road. And as we're whipping around, you go, oh, by the way, there's a memorial to the British unit that fought here, and there's another one. Every patch of that ground is just stained with
it is.
Mostly British blood. Amazing. And French. Yeah. And French blood, too. Let's not forget the French.
Indeed. No, indeed.
And then, of course, we have the opportunity to do 1918 in a day, which is a nice thing. It's a nice, relaxed way to... Well, it's not relaxed because we...
Can I talk about bear tangles? Can I talk about bear tangles now?
No, we can't yet because we've still got a whole other day in between. That was yesterday. We still had a full day before that.
Yeah.
1918. And this is the one I was previously referring to where... I don't have a solution to this, Pete. We have a genuine problem now. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
We have a genuine problem because since 2018, 2017, whatever it was, that they built the Sir John Monash Centre at Villers Bretonneux at the Australian National Memorial.
Yeah.
It's... Okay, I'm going to be totally honest. I'm not a fan of it, but it does what it says on the tin. It is an Australian interpretive centre.
Yep.
Everyone has to go there. It's essential to go there if you're an Australian.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of time. It's a very high-tech interpretive centre with lots of screens and lots of information, and it tells the whole Australian story. Yeah. A lot of, you know, they do a recreation of the Battle of Villers Bretonneux, and, you know, there we go. It's highly technological, and a lot of screens, and it does a lot of good stuff. It talks up the Australians very well.
I think
an absolutely essential site, but it takes a lot of time. I think
I think the issue for me is it's also on the iconic, you know, National Memorial, the Australian National Memorial. So you've got a heck of a lot. I mean, I can do 2-3 hours. I don't, but I could. On the Australian National Memorial, the people buried in the cemetery, the people that are commemorated on the memorial to the missing, on the wall, you know, the story of it in the Second World War, why it was built. So you can do a good 2 hours before you even get into the Sir John Monash Centre. And then potentially there, you've got 5 hours worth of film footage and, you know, an interactive display. So it's...
we don't spend 5 hours there. We should point out you could spend five
you
hours.
Could.
But we don't.
Yeah, indeed.
For people who are now going, oh my God, darling, cancel that booking. 5 hours at a museum. Yeah, we don't. We don't. You could do 5 hours there. We
easily.
Don't. But no, look, I said I'm not a fan, but it is an absolutely essential site. You really have to do it. We have to take people there. And there's a truck outside. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they won't interrupt us, I'm sure. You have to do it, but it does take a lot of time. And we're spending probably half a day there now at the...
Yeah, we do.
By the time you leave the hotel, get there, it's sort of half the day. And that does mean that we do have to pack things in, out on the battlefields.
Yeah.
You know, Hamel. Hamel's always great. How good's Hamel?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, always great, but it's great now.
No, I mean, it's again, it falls into that great battlefield from the point of view of explaining what was going on, because you can see a good 2/3 of the battlefield is visible from the Wolfberg, where the Australian Corps Memorial Park is. You know, you're looking across the battlefield. So it's a great resource for battlefield enthusiasts, a memorable place to go to. But again, not enough time. You could do with a bit of a walk there, but you have to wait for another day.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, at Plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I mean, it's a little bit of a tangent, but we've been throwing around the idea, Pete, it's absolutely in its infancy of an enthusiast's tour, yep. a tour of the battlefields for people who perhaps have done the main sites before or who want a greater understanding of the military operations
yep.
during the First World War, where we're in. So we're putting it, you know, we'll yep. talk about it more, Pete, but hopefully we can.
I think it's a great idea.
Hamel would be an essential site because we would walk. The idea would be we would walk battles and, yep. and do them. Yeah. You know, in the footsteps of a battalion and do them thoroughly. Hamel would be an essential one for that.
It was
still laid out. This is yeah. the 4th of July, 1918, John Monash's yeah. great victory.
Yeah.
What do we call it? 93 minutes that changed the world?
No, I don't call it that at all. But and also from there, of course, we've got the kicking off of the 100 days. So the 8th of August, just a month later on. So you can talk about that as we did. So, lots of things to discuss on that site. Another few hours.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
very packed there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And sadly, we didn't get a chance to. We saw them from the distance, but we didn't get a chance to actually visit the Red Baron site and the 3rd Div Memorial. But we did see them. We made sure that we pointed them out.
Yeah.
But again, there's so much to see. Obviously, when we get together, Pete, we do things in detail.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that people
think
have a thorough
understanding. To me, that was, even though we didn't get right up to the 3rd Div Memorial, I really enjoyed the fact that we saw it, because that meant that unusually, and that's why this tour was a great tour, we actually got to all 5 divisional memorials. And that is really unusual to get to all 5 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. That is an unusual thing. I can't recall doing that on another tour, so it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's great. So again, another great day. I think people were starting to get a little bit tired by then. We had packed a lot in, but just a really important day. People also went to the cathedral in Amiens, because the hotel we stay in is literally looking out over the cathedral, so people went and explored that, which is a wonderful sight as well. But now, Pete, we should get to
Bertangles,
the last day of the tour. Bertangles, Bertong.
Yeah. Perhaps I should mention,
place,
just
Pete?
Before...
We keep saying the word.
I'm just going to backtrack. We ought to mention that there's some very good bars in Amiens as well. So just thought I'd just casually mention that.
No, I wouldn't know. Orange juice all night and in bed by 6, that was me. No, we had... It's a good place, isn't it, to have couple of cheeky beers and then walk down to the Somme River, and there's a strip of restaurants down on the Somme.
Yeah.
It's a great spot. Love Amiens.
Yeah, sorry, right. Bertangles.
The last day. Yeah. And then again, bonus day. Sites, we never do these sites on tours. This is only on the signature tour. But we started in Nahor. I've said that terribly.
Yep.
But the underground city of Nahor, where the Australians left graffiti, where they visited the underground underground caves. Yeah. They visited the caves and signed the walls. They left their mark, quite literally. Astonishing. Yeah. It's only the last couple of years it's been revealed.
Yeah. I mean, extraordinary place, and every time I go there, I'm very moved, especially when you can tie in the signature on a wall where you know a man stood there, literally on that spot, signed the wall there, and then within a few weeks, sadly, he was no longer here. He was killed, many of them killed at Poisiers. And I just find that unbelievably moving to stand there looking at a signature that you know the guy, pencil in hand, scribbled that down and then went off to fight and sadly lost his life. And amazing resource, and I think massively underutilized at the moment. So a quiet place to go to. There was basically only us there, and
Did we do a battle walk on Naor?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I think we have. We did the podcast on it. Yeah,
and we certainly did a documentary on it as well.
I remember because I bumped my head. I went ow in the middle of it. I did it. It was one of mine.
That's right. And we did. We also did a documentary, World War One Behind the Lines, where we visited actually all the sites that we're doing.
Yeah.
On this day, what we're describing now, Pete, you and I visited. Yep. In that documentary. So look it up. Yep. It's on YouTube. It's free to watch. It's called World War One Behind the Lines. And we did all of these sites we're describing now. So the tunnels at Naor are amazing. Adam had a family member there, and the mayor came out to see him, and that was a big... Adam on the tour was following several of his relatives, and so he found one of them who'd inscribed his name on the wall. I think it's fascinating, Pete. I mean, it'll be a whole... a much longer tangent than a separate discussion would be why soldiers felt compelled to leave graffiti, because they did everywhere. Anywhere you go on the battlefields, you find their name. Yep. And it's obvious why. They were not only at risk of death every day, but they were at risk in the Great War of disappearing from the face of the earth. Yeah. You know, they could see how many bodies were being lost and how many men were simply going out and not coming back and never heard of again. Yeah, okay. And so they wanted to leave their mark. They were worried about disappearing. Yeah.
Matt, I'm still
forever
not
from the earth.
Matt, I'm still not telling you where that graffiti is I found in Ypres. I'm still not telling you. You can torture me. I'm not telling you.
I will find out one day, my friend. I will find out one day. Well, I'm heading back up there, so you've got to give me the inside word. Yeah. So I think
I can feel a separate podcast coming on. A special podcast. Yeah.
About graffiti or about friends not revealing what they should to other friends. Yeah. Betrayal, a podcast about betrayal. Pete has discovered some, allegedly, I don't believe it, I won't believe it until I see it, has allegedly discovered some graffiti in Ypres, which is pretty special, but won't tell me where it is.
Yeah, not yet. I'll try not and wrinkle it out. More research, more research required.
More research.
Yeah.
It'll be a good addition to future tours.
It will.
So we briefly went to Vignacourt.
Yep.
Where the Australian photos were, where the photos of the soldiers were taken in the farmhouse, and they recently discovered all the photos, and a big exhibition was done, and the tour of Australia showing the lost diggers of Vignacourt. Yeah.
And it ties in nicely with Naor and where the signatures were, where the soldiers wrote the signatures, because there's a couple of guys there that wrote their signatures in the underground caves at Naor and then went and had their photographs taken at Vignacourt. So so very special.
Pete, tell me about Bertangles.
I know nothing about it. Nothing about it. I'd never been there before.
It was your first visit, wasn't it?
It was. Not been before. Yeah, fantastic. Very interesting. Yeah.
Australian Corps headquarters in 1918. Yeah. So this is where this was Monash's headquarters. It's where he planned Hamel and the 8th of August and these other Australian triumphs during 1918.
Well, perhaps I should say, before we go any further, I have been before, but I just peered through the gate. I hadn't actually walked the halls, as they say.
Well, that's the thing that I think, that's what I'll say, is most groups don't go there at all. Yeah. Some groups, if they're incredibly keen, will go to the site of the chateau and, as you say, peer in through the gates. And that's a great experience in itself because the famous photos of the king coming to knight Monash on the steps of the chateau and all the captured German guns lined up, and you can see that. You can stand there and look straight. You can stand at the gate that the king came through and see the whole thing. But of course, we always want to take it one step further on a Matt McLaughlin signature tour, and I know the family that owns the chateau, and so we arranged to actually go in.
Yeah,
and it was wonderful. It was wonderful walking the grounds.
Well, since I like tangible evidence, for him to dig out the original table that was there in all the photographs as well, with Monash and the King. Brilliant to actually have the original table.
Fantastic. Yeah. And to walk the grounds. And then again, we got to go inside the chateau and have a look in the rooms and, you know, see where Monash planned all these things. I'd love to find, I've looked hard for it, but I've never actually been able to find any description of how many people were there, you know, how big his staff was, where they set up in each of those rooms. I'd love to find that, but I haven't, just that missing document. You think
I was
surprised by the stuff they didn't write down. You think at some stage someone would have written down, oh, he was the layout of the chateau and where everyone was based. Yeah. I suppose they didn't. I suppose they just rocked up and got on with their jobs.
I mean, I spent most of my time looking at the walls to see if I could see Monash was here written somewhere, but no, he didn't. He didn't do it. Yeah.
A few years ago, I filmed a documentary there, and the doco filmed for 3 or 4 days at the chateau, and I was a very minor part of that documentary, so I was only required for about 20 minutes. So I had several days to roam the grounds, and I scoured every inch of that chateau and found a lot of graffiti. Yeah. And it told a hell of a story too, because there was some Australian graffiti there from the First World War, as you'd expect. Although not much, but I can understand why. This was a corps headquarters.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, you're not
the done thing. Not the done thing.
They're going to be discouraging, you know, some you know, Lieutenant General is not going to be scratching his name into the chalk. But a lot of World War II graffiti as well, because the chateau was occupied by the Brits during the early stages of the war, and then of course by the Germans. There's a swastika on one of the walls that obviously a German soldier carved, and just an extraordinary place. Yeah, I love going there, and it's one of the big bonuses of the signature tour is that we go to the chateau.
Yeah,
even if we could get access on the regular tour, we wouldn't have time to go there because it's too far away.
That was very interesting. Area. Yeah, very interesting, and the owner was very courteous and interesting, and it was a great experience, very enjoyable.
And then farewell to the battlefields. It was sad to leave. I think everyone was sort of in the same mood that no one wanted to leave, but we had to get going. We had to get back to Paris, but we finish in style as well. A river cruise
on the
Seine is always a good way to finish up. Do we do that on any other tours, Pete? Do you finish up other tours with a river cruise?
No. I think during the centenary years, we did a couple of, didn't we? I think we finished a couple of the centenary tours on the with cruises, and but
we throw it in on the Anzac tours every now and again. I'm not sure if we are next year, but great way to do it.
Oh, but
a couple of hours on the boat, nice meal, you know, City of Lights, Paris, the City of Lights, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Can I just mention...
Everyone gets a bit...
I'm going to have to have another coffee in a minute, because it's also... I may have drunk just a little too much, perhaps.
Yeah, we do. We give it a nudge. But isn't it? It's so emotional. There's so many... I was looking back through my phone. So many photos of everyone hugging each other and... Wonderful experience.
Fantastic night. It was a great night and very memorable. And I'm very sad, very, very, very emotional this morning, and very sad to be seeing everybody departing and going their own ways. And hopefully we're going to keep in touch online. So but it's not.
It's a shared experience, isn't it? Everyone's here. It's not a beach holiday. We're not just sightseeing. This is a shared pilgrimage.
That's what it is.
There's a lot of emotion. Well, people are here because they've got the shared interest in this history, and they want to experience this history, and it's an emotional story. It does bring people. Yeah. It brings people close together in a way that other tours don't.
Yeah, well, I think your catchline is the memories will last a lifetime, and they do. You know, that it is a lifetime's experience, and I think everybody that has just finished with us will remember it for the rest of their lives. Yeah. Not just the
signature tour. All of them. All of them. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I do. I mean, I enjoy all of them, but this one was particularly special. It was it was a fantastic time.
It was a good one, mate. I'm sorry to be saying farewell. It's been such a great experience. Great to be back on the battlefields.
But
it is a real privilege to take people around. You know, Matt and Pete could do this, and you know, we could do this if we wanted to. We could go out and wander the battlefields, but it's a rare privilege to be able to take people and show them where their relatives fought and died, and to share this experience with them. I'm very grateful to everyone that comes on our tours, because I say this on the tour, don't underestimate what this means. It's a pilgrimage, people are coming a long way to pay their respects, and I'm very grateful we get to show them around. What a great tour, great experience.
I honestly think it changes people as well. I think hopefully for the better. It is a life changing experience. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it is, to visit the battlefields if you haven't been before. Even if you have, what we should say is quite a few of the people on this signature tour had actually visited the battlefields with us before. So I thought that was quite interesting. But it is just a very emotional and moving experience.
Well, I'm sorry to be saying goodbye, Pete. It's been wonderful to... we've known each other for a long time now, but this is the first time we've led a tour together, and I think it was a great experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully the passengers agreed.
Well, we'll find out.
I loved it, mate. Thank you.
it's been great, Matt. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, so look forward to working with you again next year.
Indeed. Well, this is next year. Exciting.
Next year.
This is it. This is the end of the podcast series. We did a few less recordings than I intended to, but we got there in the end. But thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on this experience. And we'll be back to normal broadcasting next week.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us, Pete. Thank you. I look forward to recording some Battle Walks episodes. We're a little overdue. We've been busy with you actually leading tours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the touring season is going to start to slow down a little bit from now on, so we'll get some, especially over the winter, we'll get some.
I've got some ready. Yeah.
Can't wait for it, mate. Can't wait.
All right.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Matt. Yeah. See you soon.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.